Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the SIS Limited Q2 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bhavik Bakshi, President, M&A, Investor Relations, and Ventures from SIS Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Bhavik Bakshi.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our Q2 FY24 earnings call. Along with me, I have our Group Managing Director, Ituraj Sinha, and our Group CFO, Devesh Desai. I hope everyone has had a chance to look at our results and the earnings note, which has been uploaded on the stock exchange and the company website. We are happy to report strong numbers this quarter. Revenue is up 11% year-on-year, and EBITDA is up over 31%. For the first time, we have crossed a milestone of rupees 1,000 crore revenue per month. We have had the highest-ever quarterly revenue in India security, in facility management, as well as in our cash business. As you know, as a group, we have been very focused on margins, both in terms of customer contracts as well as SG&A costs. We are happy to report that consolidated EBITDA margins have improved from 4% in the same quarter last year to 4.7% this quarter, which is a substantial uptick. Leading this improvement in margins was our India security business, where margins have improved substantially from 4.4% in the same quarter last year to 5.7% this quarter, a change of 130 basis points. In the international security business, EBITDA margin was 4% this quarter, again up from 33.3% in the same quarter last year. This was in spite of a tight labor market and a record wage hike of 5.7%, which became effective this quarter in Australia. As you know, the wage hike gets passed on to customers, and as that happens, it should even further improve margins. On the facility management side, as you are aware, this year we became the largest FM company in India. We are continuing to see good tailwind in this sector, with a continued focus on building out of assets and infrastructure in the country, and a greater focus by customers on quality and the experience. We had our highest-ever quarterly revenue of rupees 528 crore this quarter in FM, hence comfortably run-rating over 2,000 crore per annum. The cash business had an EBITDA margin of 16.1% this quarter and a PAT margin of 8.5%, with profit after tax improving over 200% from the same quarter last year. So overall, we're very happy with the business momentum and also particularly the increase in margins. We will now turn it over for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Bakshi. We will now begin the question-and-answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mayur Liman from ProfitMart Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just want to understand about the long-term and short-term debt. Is the company planning to further reduce the debt? Hello?
Hi, this is Ituraj. Thanks for your question. I think the first and most important thing that I wanted to point out is that our leverage situation is very reasonable today. From any perspective, if you look at our results, you will note that not just now, but throughout our five years, since 6 years since we got listed, we have been very conscious about leverage in this company. we have indicated in the past that we believe that 1.5 times gearing is the right level of gearing for the business because it is a high cash generating business itself. However, we clearly pointed out that we do not want to exceed 2x of EBITDA gearing. So that's our range, and we are within that range, and we believe that we will maintain that range. And that's been the trend for the last 6 years since we listed.
Okay. Thank you, sir. My second question is on CapEx. Could you please provide guidance on that, if the company is planning any CapEx plan?
You have to understand the nature of business. The real capital involved in the business is only working capital. If you look at our gross debt, you will see that a majority of that, more than 90%, is purely working capital related loans, which are secured against receivables from our customers. The capital expenditure, CapEx, involved in this business is rather low. And I wouldn't say that we have CapEx planned in the upcoming year, which is anything beyond the normal levels. So if I would put a number on it, I'd say maybe we have CapEx of 50 crores at ballpark range. We generally do not have CapEx beyond that.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. And my last question is, what are your expectations from the next quarter?
Well, as a matter of policy, we do not provide guidance as such. But if you look at this year's result, the first half result, you will see that the growth is strong. Most importantly, there was a lot of questioning around the margin profile of our businesses. Margins are consistently improving. Even this quarter, we've reported 11% growth and 31% EBITDA growth. So I guess we are very much on track. Second half of the year looks to be, the order pipeline looks to be strong. Our margin planning seems to be more or less on track. So we believe that we are on a good trajectory, and FY24 will be a record performance year for SIS Group.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may ask questions by pressing star and one on your handsets. The next question is from the line of Kaushik Mohan from Ashika Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for the good set of numbers. So my basic understanding I just need on our service sector, like for example, our security service. Who is the dominant sector? Who is dominating the revenue from this sector? Like which sector is dominating the service security service for major revenues?
If I understand correctly, you're talking about customer segments?
Yes, customer segment, yes. Specifically customer segment. Who is the major sector as a customer that who is dominating this revenue stream?
So if you look at the security business, our security business in India at the moment is, close to doing 450 odd crores. If you look at the security business, the major revenue contributors are manufacturing, IT and IT services, including BPOs, and then followed by healthcare and commercial buildings like corporate offices and commercial establishments. But the most important thing that you must note is that no single sector contributes more than 15% of our overall revenue. We are a highly diversified business from a customer segment perspective. So even manufacturing would be close to 15%, 16% of revenue. IT would be around that mark and followed by other segments. So that's our customer segment revenue profile. Details of this can be obtained from our team. They will be very happy to provide you a exact breakup of customer segment-wise revenue.
Got it, sir. Sir, I recently also met one of an private company in this same segment. The attrition rate is very high in this business. So how are we and what is our attrition rate?
Well, attrition rate in our security business and our facility management business is more or less in the range of 30 to 40% a year. Industry-wide, if you see, the security business or FM business has close to 50% attrition rate. Ours is marginally better. But then again, even the IT companies maintain an attrition rate of 30-odd percent. What happens in security in SIS or in FM in SIS is that we have invested very heavily in our supply chain. SIS Security, for example, operates 21 residential training establishments spread across 14 states. In a year, we have capacity to recruit, train, certify 25,000 plus people. So, to meet this attrition, we have a replacement supply chain. And this replacement supply chain is what separates us from our competitors and facilitates our growth.
Got it. So that means that the supply which is coming to us, the attrition is 30%. In that means that if there is 100 employees, 30 people are like exiting the game and there will be new 30 employees joining our game. So what is the training period? How much is this 1 year? How much is the training period?
The Private Security Agencies Regulation Act mandates training for freshers, for those who are entering private security services line for the first time. Our training is four times that. So, Private Security Agencies Regulation Act mandates 7 to 8 days of training. Our training is of 28 days in the residential training academies where freshers are inducted. In the branches, only experienced security guards who have worked for at least 1 year in this segment are recruited. So, our training and supply chain is probably the best in the industry, and that is what gives us an edge over our competitors.
Got it, sir. Last and final question from my end. I just wanted to understand, we have so many number of employees because our even the average salaries will be very, and we have so many diverse clients. How are we managing? What's the kind of software or the SOPs that we are using in our organization to manage this kind of heavy labor incentive business?
Well, two things I'd like to say. Number one, you must understand that nobody manages 280,000 people. No single person manages. The business is operated on a profit center model where our branch is an independent profit center. It has its own recruitment person, training person, accounting person, sales person, few people for operations. There's a branch head. So it's like a small 10-20 crore company by itself. So that profit center model, a very flat organization, runs 800 to 1200 people business or 40 to 60 customers business in a particular geography, which is generally 1 to 2 districts. So that's the way, just like McDonald's plans where to put their store, we plan where to put our branch. and we try and keep the branch territory to be smallest so that there is great concentration on existing customers and there is proper customer mining in that area so that they are able to approach every single potential customer in the area. We do not give vast territory to branches. So that's one model of SIS. That's why SIS today maintains more than 300 branches in India. If you add security, FM, all types of companies, we have more than 300 branches in India. If you compare that to group 4, for example, they would have less than 100 branches. Several of our other competitors have less than 100 branches. This network, micro geography network, spread across every state of India, across 660 plus districts of India, makes SIS a true national player. That's number one. Number two, on the IT systems, you are absolutely right. You cannot run this business without very robust IT systems. Over the last many years, SIS has not just developed proprietary software for recruitment. For example, it's called ARC system, Automated Recruitment Kiosk. It works pretty much like what you have in Passport Seva Kendra. It's a 10-step process to recruit and assess quality of a person. There is M-Trainer, which is a mobile app-based training platform. There is iOps to manage operations. There is MySIS to manage, you know, attendance and leaves and transfers, etc. So there's so many proprietary software that SIS has built through our knowledge base that enable us to be what we are today. And then we combine it, you know, on the accounting side, etc. We combine it with, you know, the likes of an Oracle Fusion, which are most reputed software platforms, but they do more accounting type work for us, MIS, accounting, that type of work. The principal business operation runs on homegrown IT systems that are developed and maintained by SIS. So these are the real USPs of SIS, and I'm glad you asked that question because most people do not understand that in this sector, there are no barriers to entry. Anybody can set up a security company. It doesn't take a lot of capital, a lot of R&D. The barriers are not to entry. The barriers are to scale. There are more than 15,000 licensed private security companies in India. There are only two companies which have a revenue of more than 2,000 crores. There are many, many, many cleaning service, facility management service companies in India. There are three companies which are over 2,000 crores in revenue. There are many, many, many cash companies in India. There is only two which are above 500 crores in revenue. So barriers are to scale, and for scale, you need pan-India network and very robust IT systems. Sorry for a long answer, but I just...
No, sir, this was the best answer that I can expect from, because it gives the clear-cut clarity on the business. So my next question, sir, every time we see in the last 15 quarters or 20 quarters, our tax numbers fluctuate a lot. So can I understand, what do we get any benefits just because we are a labor incentive market and we are working in an salaries below 20,000? Or what makes us to get this tax benefit each and every time in our quarters?
Divish?
Hello. Okay. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are audible. You are audible.
Okay. So, being an employer who generates employment and whose employees increase in numbers every year, we are eligible for benefits under Section 80JJA of the Income Tax Act, where you are incentivized for, you get a special deduction from your income for all net number of employees you increase during the year. Of course, you are right, they have to meet some criteria of salaries no more than 25,000. They have to be fresh entrants into the pool. They have to work 240 days for the year. And there are a number of conditions which are to be met. Now, every year, we have a net increase in the number of employees. but the number of employees increasing on a year-to-year basis changes based on the growth, based on the pricing, and based on a number of other factors. Now, in the COVID years, of course, one or two years, we had no growth. So we were not getting any fresh benefit, but we were only getting benefits from the carry-forward benefit of the previous year. As you know, this section allows you to carry benefits for 3 years for additional expenditure in a particular year. So during the COVID year, there was no growth for 1 year, so we did not get any fresh benefit, but we only got the benefit for the previous 2 years. And in the next year, there was a smaller growth. Last year, there was a tremendous growth in the revenue and the number of employees. This year, the growth is slower. And because of the way we do the accounting, we take the current benefit and we also create a deferred tax benefit. And then the deferred tax benefit has to be then adjusted in the subsequent 2 years. So that gives an impression that the tax expense is fluctuating and the profit after tax is fluctuating. But if you compare the profit after tax and look at the trend without considering the deferred tax benefit creation and bring down and creation and bring down for a number of quarters, then you will see a smoother trend, you will see a smoother picture of what's happening. Now, as an example, if you look at page 7 in our earnings note, it gives you an explanation of what's happening and it also says that if I do not consider this deferred tax impact, bring down and creation, etc., and only consider the current tax impact, my PAT for the quarter has grown 58% on a year-on-year basis. And there is a smooth trend which takes place. Have I answered your question?
Yes, you answered it, sir. Sir, another question. How about our digital side? The digital security business is growing at a larger scale. When we look at US, they have captured this market in a very large scale. How about us, how are we equipped to transform ourselves into digital side?
SIS, one of our strategic objectives for the Vision 2025 plan that we are currently operating was to migrate actively from services to solutions. Solutioning means using a lot of technology, whether hardware or software, to basically enhance the outcomes or the quality of service for our clients. As of now, you will see that SIS on the security side is building a lot of technology capability with businesses like WeProtect, which is an alarm monitoring response business. We have more than 20,000 connections now and another 5,000 connections orders in hand. This did not exist 3 years back. Similarly, TechSIS is going to report one of its best results of the last 5 years in the current financial year basis the order book. TechSIS does CCTV camera work and other technology both on selling basis and on leasing basis. So SIS on the security side has done that. On the facility management side, there is a lot of trust on outcome-based contracts where we use machines and other software to, like iPorter and so much other type of technology to enhance the outcomes for clients, including, energy efficiency of buildings, and various other things, how to ensure that the lighting systems, the HVAC systems, etc., are utilized in a way that the customers, run more efficient buildings, not just save money. So solutioning is a big part of SIS strategy. Roughly, around about 8 to 10% of our security revenues are now coming from solution-related businesses. Roughly 30-odd% of our facility management revenues come from solution type services. In the last 5 years, this has grown considerably, but I believe that in the coming years, the capability that we are building will differentiate SIS from our competitors? And I see that, you know, the share of solutioning in overall revenue will grow at a fast clip as the customers mature and the market becomes more amenable and willing to move away from manpower and move towards technology.
Got it, sir. Sir, I'll get back in the queue. Thanks for this answer.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Alok Deshpande from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, Dhritaraj. Good afternoon, Bharat. Just one question on facility management. So, you know, I think last time you had mentioned that, you know, due to some low margin contracts, there's some impact on the margins. Now, how should we look at the way ahead here in terms of growth at facility management, and how do you balance that with the margin improvement from where we are currently?
So, you know, Alok, I've said this before that in the India business, you know, we have bounced from like a 4% type margin to 5.7% margin. And I think that they are on track to go above 6% in the coming quarters. As far as facility management is concerned, it will follow a similar trail. If you remember, facility management was a 6% plus EBITDA margin business pre-COVID. During COVID, they had the biggest impact in terms of revenue because a lot of office premises closed down, retail establishments were not working. And to make good those loss of contracts or loss of revenue, they did take on certain contracts on fixed margins or lower margins that were not the best decisions. However, that said, the FM business is currently on a contract portfolio review exercise, similar to what security did. They are churning out suboptimal contracts and replacing them with better margin contracts, or even in some cases, we are negotiating with customers to reprice our contracts because they are not generating reasonable margins for us. So these exercises are time-taking. They have to be done contract for contract. And as you know, in our business, there are thousands and thousands of contracts. So I believe that the facility management business, in short, will take a little bit of time to get its margin fixed. It could be 2 quarters. It could be 3. Having said that, I will also reaffirm that the facility management business has in the past demonstrated its ability to generate 6% plus EBITDA margins. And I do not see any reason why they cannot go back to the similar level of EBITDA margin in the near term. But this will take a little bit of time, and it will follow a similar trajectory to what SIS Security in India has done.
Great. And Dhritaraj, while this transition or while this improvement happens, the journey happens from 4% to the 6% that we have seen historically, how should we look at growth in facility management in this process? You know, will this be at some, you know, some lower growth than we have seen historically? Facility management has been a fast growing area. I just wanted to understand the growth part here.
I think it's all relative because the facility management business reported, I think, close to 35-40% growth last year.
Okay.
So as against that, there might be 15-20% growth this year. Now, that is not, in independent assessment, this is not small growth because it's faster growth than what recently listed companies like UDS will report. But in comparison to 40%, it will be much slower. And the reason for that is that as they bring on new contracts, they are also filtering out the lower margin ones. So the net impact is that they will maintain 15%, 20% in that ballpark range.
Understood. Thanks. Thanks, Rituraj, and all the very best, and congratulations on a very good performance.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Mohit from Guardian Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity. So just coming back to the question the previous participant has asked, if we are letting go of the lower margin contracts, then shouldn't there have been an uptick in the margin? The margins are actually down 40 weeks QOQ. So I'm not able to reconcile these two.
See, when you let go of bad contracts, lower margin contracts, your revenue of a branch also shrinks. So your SG&A cost has not shrunk, but your revenue has shrunk. So in the short term, in the immediate term, losing contracts means that your SG&A as a percentage goes up and your overall EBITDA margin will come down. But as you rebuild the volume, as you rebuild the revenue and SG&A remains the same, then it will start to trickle down directly to enhanced EBITDA margins.
But the revenue was actually up, right? Both quarter on quarter as well as year on year.
Yeah, revenue is up, but you have to also see that at the branch level, it's a different picture. What you see is a consolidated profile. There are certain branches that have taken a severe beating. You know, there are branches that have let go of 40% of their revenues and slid into lower margin trajectory. Plus, there is a SG&A increase coming through because we do our pay reviews in, you know, the second quarter. So that's there. There is bonuses that are paid out, you know, in the, you know, June to July period. So because of all those reasons, you see what you see. But again, I'm saying in this line of business, my suggestion to anybody who's tracking this sector is don't look at quarter for quarter, look at the trend line. If you look at quarter for quarter, you know, you will have to actually understand the business deep down at the contract level, at the branch level.
Okay, good. So I'm just saying there was some asymmetry, like there were some branches that did exceptionally well where the revenue growth was coming from, and there was some where there was big revenue degrowth, and this imbalance in SG&A is what caused it to be done. It's my understanding correct.
Plus the increment cycle and the payment of bonuses, etc., which are, you know, absorbed in this quarter.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Before we ask the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rushil Thedia from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
So I had a question. So 5% of our revenues is the cash business, right? And it is around 17% of the PAT. So I just wanted to know, are we planning to grow this business further? Hello?
Absolutely.
What would be leading, what would be the driver for that?
Well, last year the business reported a very handsome growth of 35%. Even this year, you know, they have a strong pipeline. They are growing well.
Okay. And what would be the breakup of the cash services? I mean, what would be ATM, what would be retail cash management, and what would be the CID business? And how are we seeing the growth in all three?
Well, the exact numbers you can take from the investor relations team, but generally speaking, the ATM to non-ATM, which is what we generally track.
Okay.
The ATM business would be below 20% of our overall revenue profile. I think it will be closer to 15%. Many years back in 2017-18, post demonetization, SIS took a clear view that the first impact of, you know, post demonetization and growth of fintech and digital and payment wallets and all of that, the first impact of that is going to be ATMs. So ATMs will slow down, the ATM growth will slow down, the transactions per ATM will slow down, the amount of money drawn from ATMs will slow down, and therefore 2017 onwards, we started to reposition our business as a bank outsourcing services partner, reducing our trust on ATMs. And that has actually worked out quite favorably for us. Not only is our ATM portfolio the smallest, you know, compared to AGS, compared to CMS, that's a complete contrast. Our dependence on ATMs is the least. Our deductions and losses and penalties because of that reason are relatively lower. And our business is also fast growing because currency in circulation is growing. But currency in ATMs or ATM transaction is on the decline. So I think we are very well positioned for the future, and I see that cash will deliver its best ever results this year, and their profit after tax margin will be close to 10%. They are reporting a 17% EBITDA margin. And, you know, we believe that we are poised to see significant growth. And therefore, we will at the right time consider unlocking value for our shareholders in this segment.
Okay, sir. And how are we seeing growth? As in, are we doing something? Are we trying to get further more contracts in the retail cash management?
That's an ongoing cycle. You're always trying to meet your numbers.
Okay.
So in all segments, SIS is trying to sell more, grow more. That's our DNA. And that's why we've remained the fastest growing business, not just in the cash segment. We are also the fastest growing in security versus the G4S. We are also the fastest growing in facility management versus Quest and BVG and UDS. So that, I think, you pick up last 10 years data of all these businesses and you'll see for yourself.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rituraj Sinha for the closing remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you so much, everyone, for taking the time to join this call. It's been a pleasure talking to you as always. As I said earlier, this is a very solid result, a strong performance by SIS in not just Q2, but in the first half of FY24. This is pretty much what we had spoken about in our previous calls. I believe that even for the second quarter, the business is well set, not only to grow across security, facility management and cash segments. We also believe that we are on track to improve margins. And most importantly, I'd like to call out something that's not been asked today, but just volunteering an important point. Our days of sales outstanding has increased this quarter. Our focus will be to bring that back by 31st December. We maintain the best days of sales outstanding. Working capital management in SIS is generally tight. This is not the best quarter from that perspective, but we have that in our mind and we are working on it. Lastly, you can rest assured that as far as debt is concerned, we have a very conservative approach and our guidance has been very clearly stated on the debt aspect. Gearing-wise, net debt to EBITDA, 1.5x is the comfortable range. I think below 1x, you're underutilizing your balance sheet. And if you increase beyond 2x net debt to EBITDA, then the gearing is getting into a zone of concern. So you will see SIS fluctuating between that 1.5x range, more or less. And that has been the trend since we listed, and we hope to maintain that trend going forward as well. Thank you very much once again, and I hope to see you sometime soon. All the best. Happy Diwali.
Thank you so much, sir. On behalf of SIS Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.